If you look in Jude, number 22, we see a verse that's been used greatly and has helped me in many of my days and years as being a pastor and a youth pastor. But the Bible says in Jude 22, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." Tonight we're going to look at several passages it included in the Word of God about compassion. And I believe that's one thing that truly what this world needs, this generation needs, is compassion. Because this world and this generation needs a difference to be made. And the Bible clearly says that without compassion, you cannot make a difference. But those that have compassion can make a difference. And I know you want to make a difference right here in Jupiter, where you're at, in your home. You need to have compassion. Where you work, at what you do. Several years ago, I went to a youth camp or a family camp up in Wisconsin. And I heard a message preached about the zero family. And talking about a family without love. And of course, love is compassion is love in action. And so tonight, we're going to look at the theme of compassion this evening through Scripture. But before we begin, let's begin with prayer and ask God's blessing upon these few minutes together. Dearest Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble servants, not worthy of anything but hell, but because of the gift and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can experience the great joy of being a child of the King. Lord, tonight, as we look into this passage of Scripture and other passages throughout this wonderful book you've left us, Lord, help us to see some things that will be helpful to us, that will make us better Christians these next few days before the next we meet again. Lord, we need your help. Holy Spirit, we need your guidance, need your comfort, your conviction, as only you can give. Use your word tonight. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Go with me now through the book of Exodus chapter 2. We see the first mention of this word, compassion, in our scriptures. It comes about through a tragic time in the life of a nation. The nation of Israel was under great persecution. They were commanded by the government of the day to kill children. The Pharaoh said to the midwives, to the doctors of the day, to kill all male children. The midwives did not obey that, of course, and they began to save them alive. And then the Pharaoh went so far as says, if you see any children that are male, throw them into the Nile River, that the crocodiles will eat them. And this is a tragedy, a persecuted time in the life of a nation. And we see that a difference was made because a young woman showed compassion on a little baby. Look in Exodus chapter 2 and in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's bank, the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" And you know the rest of the story, many of you do. This little child was drawn out of the Nile River, taken out of an ark of bulrushes, was raised as a prince in the nation of Israel. That young man would one day grow up, would leave the nation of Israel, make some decisions for God, as we read about in the book of Hebrews. And then from the book of Hebrews, we see that he made some choices that would define him as a man that God was going to use to bring a nation out of bondage. According to the government, they wanted this child dead. The Pharaoh wanted to see this child put to death at an early age, even before he was born. But because of the compassion a young princess had, we see the man Moses that was taken and became a great leader of the nation of Israel. He's the one that led them through the Red Sea, that God gave the Ten Commandments to, that brought the children of Israel to the brink of the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land. We see that a young lady had compassion and a great difference was made. Go with me now, if you would, to the book of Luke. I'm sorry, the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. In chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In verse number 34. We see a day in the life of two blind men. They were sitting outside the city of Jericho, a tremendous city. A lot of history was done there. Of course, the walls of Jericho came down. They had been rebuilt now. And we see two blind men sitting by the wayside, beggars, waiting for someone to put some more coins into their little cup. And the multitude come by, and they noticed it was the Son of David. It was Jesus Christ that came by. The Lord Jesus Christ heard them cry out, and everyone else was saying, "Hey, hush, hush." But Jesus Christ heard their cry. And we see, we'll pick up the story in verse number 33, or verse number 32 of Matthew 20. It says, "And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had what? Compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." Here Jesus Christ made a difference in the life of two blind men. Blind likely from birth, never could see the sunlight, never could see the beautiful area there around Jericho or see their father or mother's face. But here, Jesus Christ looked upon them, had compassion upon them, and reached out and touched them. We see in Exodus, a princess had compassion and touched the little child. Here we see Jesus had compassion and reached out and touched the eyes of the blind. Go with me now, if you would, to the book of Mark. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. St. Mark chapter 1, in verse number 40, we see another person that God gives us the account of. This time he was a leper. Leprosy at the time was a very deadly disease, and even today is very deadly and unbecoming of anyone. People would lose parts of their body because of this dreadful disease of leprosy. We see here in verse number 40 of Mark chapter 1, the Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.'" If you know anything about leprosy, it's contagious by touch. If you know someone that has leprosy, it's not someone that today they would have to call unclean. They would have to go to little communes and stay away from the population because of their dreadful disease. But when Jesus leper came to Jesus Christ and said, "Hey, I need your help. Help me." Jesus had compassion. He was moved with compassion. And he reached forth his hand and he touched a leper. And that leper was made clean. Let's look at another passage. Gospel according to St. Luke, if you would. Chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, we see they're in a city by the name of Nain. Not a very big city. Not a very popular city. But we see a city where there is great needs that need to be met. On this day, the Lord Jesus Christ was walking through the town and near the city, and he saw a funeral procession go by. He heard the wailing of a mother, a widow mother, lost her husband and now had lost her only child, a boy. She was wailing. She was in sadness because of the death of a child. And if anyone in here has ever lost a child, you know the sorrow and the pain that that can go through. My older brother lost his oldest son just several years ago in a tragic accident on the highways of California. And how sad that is, and how that every day my brother and my sister-in-law think about him. And I can't imagine the heartache of this widow woman losing a child. And she's wailing. The funeral procession has gone by. They put him in a box already. And they're taking him out to the graveside outside the town. But Jesus notices. Notice what the Bible says. Luke chapter 7, verse number 11. "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had" what on her? "Compassion on her. and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and scared everybody around him. Sat up and said, and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Here again, the Lord Jesus Christ saw a lady in need, a broken heart, had compassion, and he reached with his hand and he touched the box, the bier, that would have been the coffin. He touched it, and a difference was made in the life of that young man and the life, no doubt, of that his mother and in the entire city. And let's go back to our text in Luke chapter 10. We just now read a few minutes ago, we see the story of the Good Samaritan. In this story, we see a man, his life was broken. A man that was on his road to prosperity. A man that had some means. A man that had a business to take care of. Maybe family that he had to tend to. And the Lord tells us a story about this man who fell among thieves. His body was broken and bloody. Two men walked by. A Levite and a priest walk by. They see him and they ignore him. Pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan man comes. He sees the need. He sees the broken body. He sees a bloody mess on the side of the road. And the Bible tells us in verse number 33 that he had compassion on him. Look what the Bible says. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him into an inn, and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Here we see a Samaritan sees a stranger on the side of the road, and feels compassion in his heart. He gets off his beast. He sees the man that was bloody and begins to wrap up his wounds. By doing so, his own hands get bloody. He goes to his beast and he gets the oil and the wine medicine off of his storage sacks on his little donkey there. He comes and he bounds up the wounds. He puts the man and helps him to his beast and he carries him to the city, into an inn. And there at that inn, the man is taken care of and tended to. And the difference was made. A man that was dead, was going to die, had he stayed much longer on that road, now is going to be able to live. Maybe go back to his family, see his wife and his children again. Go about on his business, people that are counting on him to make that trip. Because one person showed compassion. 5 things quickly this evening. Number one, people are hurting and lives are broken. Where you live, in your neighborhood, the town that you live in, people that you know, there are people that are dying and people that are hurting. I've got a man in my church that works as an ER or as an intensive care nurse. And almost every week he comes to me and tells me about someone that had died under his care. So I had an opportunity to pray with them before they died. All around us, no matter what your job is, you have people around you that are hurting. They may look good on the outside. It's like everything is going well, but they're hurting on the inside. Sometimes they hide it so well. Sometimes the wound is very open. Recently, a famous football player named Junior Seau, 43 years old, killed himself. All the family members and all the friends that they had interviewed said we seen nothing to be wrong with him. He seemed to be happy, seemed to be encouraging. But somewhere inside of him, he was hurting. I don't know his testimony of salvation. I haven't heard a good testimony of a profession of his faith. But it's sad to think that someone that looked so good was hurting so deeply. But all of us know people like that. The devil is having a heyday in the lives of the lost, but also in the lives of people that are saved. I've known believers that are backslidden. Believers that sit pretty in a church, but yet inside they're backslidden far from God. They're dealing with secret sins that are eating them up inside. They're dealing with things that they won't share with anyone else. But they're not walking with God. They're not letting the Lord give them the victory in their life. And they need someone out to reach out to them and touch their life and demonstrate compassion. Number two, most people are unconcerned about those that are hurting. Most of us are wrapped up in our everyday lives, doing what we need to do to get by, to get the bills paid by the end of the month. Most of us are busy, looking good, trying to impress others, when we're walking right by those that have had the biggest need. I think about the priest. I think about the Levite, both in somewhat religious circus, or a religious circle. You could call it a religious circus. I guess that would be good too. But they're in the religious circles. But yet, they're so busy, so consumed about their own life that they ignored a person that was dying on the wayside. Number one, people are hurting. Number two, most people are unconcerned about the hurting. We may look at them, we may feel sorry for them, may show some pity for them. We may say to our wife or to her husband as we're sitting on the couch, "Oh, isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad story?" We may drive by them as they're maybe begging on the side of the road, or as they're playing on the park somewhere, and say, "Oh, look at those kids, how rough they are, that gang, whatever they're in, and somebody ought to do something about that." Well, we sit there and talk about it. We demonstrate no compassion. Number three, we must do more than just see the problem. We must do more than just recognize that people are dying and going to hell. We must do more than just look at the people that are hurting physically and hurting emotionally. We need to do more than just look at it. We need to go and touch their life. Be used by the Holy Spirit of God to impact a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, compassion is never convenient. Everywhere we've read a story here in the Gospels and in the Old Testament, every time we read the word compassion, we read about inconvenience. A princess's life was inconvenienced for 40 years because she saw a little baby in the Nile River. For the next 40 years, she paid the wages of a mother to wean the little Moses. She spent time for the next 40 years raising a little boy because she had compassion. We see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, his day interrupted by a leper. His day interrupted by blind men. His day interrupted by a funeral service. Compassion demonstrated is never convenient. It will cost you time. It will cost you, you will get dirty. You may have to change a tire for someone. You may have to work on someone's vehicle. You may have to take someone to the hospital. You may get blood in your vehicle. But when you demonstrate compassion, it's going to cost you something. Your hands are going to get dirty doing so. It will cost you your money. It cost the Good Samaritan money. It cost him his time. It cost him his own ride. It costs his provisions. Compassion is never convenient. True compassion that makes a difference takes character. It takes character to obey. It takes character to see what Christ did and truly do what Jesus Christ did. And that's demonstrate compassion. Number five, compassion does make a difference. Back in 1929, out in West Texas, the county of Goldwaite, Texas, there was a young family of a sharecropper. One morning, as they were eating breakfast, the dad of the home, his name was Lloyd Webster Benson, saw a chicken hawk out messing with his chickens out in the barnyard. He grabs his shotgun and leaves a breakfast table and goes to shoot this chicken hawk that was messing with his chickens on the livelihood of his farm. As he's going out to the chicken pen, he steps over a fence, and as he steps over the fence, the gun accidentally goes off and he shoots himself. And there in the West Texas town of Gold Weight, he dies. The wife and the children heard a gunshot go off, look out, and see their father limped over a fence. There that day, the word began to get out that the tragedy at the Benson farm. Neighbors came in from all over to try to comfort the widow now and the fatherless children there in that home. News got into the town where a revival was going on, and an evangelist, a Baptist evangelist from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, by the name of W.E. Hawkins, came to the Benson farm, walked up with a Bible in his hand, and went to the widow, said to the widow Benson, and said, "I'm so sorry for your tragedy. You need to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can help you in a time like this." She replied, "What else can I do?" And that day, the widow Benson and her oldest boy, 16 years old at that time, named Norman, put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they became Christians. The Bible that Mr. Hawkins carried in his hand, he gave to the family. And that mother began to read that Bible through, and she raised those children to be Christian people. Norman, 16 years old when he lost his father, became a cotton-picking cowboy. He wrote a book about it. He picked cotton there in West Texas to make a living for his family. To finally one day in his early 20s, he go out to a ranch and began to work as a cowboy. It was while he was working at a ranch near San Angelo, Texas, that he met a beautiful young lady named Sybil Allen. They got married, and they had children. Their oldest children were two twin girls. Had another little boy, another little girl to follow. And every Sunday morning, Norman Benson took his family to church. They went to Bowie Street Baptist Church. It was there in Bowie Street Baptist Church that the oldest of those twin girls put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's just a young lady. Every day, Norman Benson and his wife, Sybil, took his family to church, and finally one day, that little girl got saved. As they later in the teenager, she decided she needed to be in the ministry. And she went off to Bible college in Missouri. About 1950, a Sunday school teacher in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Bell Avenue Baptist Church, saw a little boy out on the street playing and invited him to come to Sunday school. That little boy came into Sunday school class one day and through the teaching of that Sunday school teacher, put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He told his mom and dad about the church, and they all began to go to the Bell Avenue Baptist Church. And that little boy, as a 12-year-old boy, put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and go through high school. Later on, go to the military. After he got out of the military, he got right with God at the North Knoxville Baptist Church. And from North Knoxville Baptist Church, his pastor suggested he go to a Bible college in Missouri. That young little boy that got saved by a Sunday school teacher's compassion, and that young lady, they got saved through the efforts of her mom and dad that loved her and took her to a good Baptist church, met at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. They became Richard and Janelle Wilkerson. And through their love and through their compassion one for another, they would raise six children. I'm the third of their relationship. And through that relationship today, I'm trying to make a difference. I know my three brothers and my two sisters are trying to make a difference and demonstrate compassion that was shown to my grandfather and to my daddy. I want you to know tonight, and if some have compassion, making a difference. As I stand here today, I'm thankful for the compassion that was demonstrated in my life. Because it was my daddy that took me beside a bed and show me the plan of salvation. I put my faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ. The questions tonight are simply, think about the person that had compassion in your life. The person that showed you the plan of salvation. The person that you can look to and say, because of this person, I know for sure I'm going to go to heaven. I'm saved because of this person's testimony, this person presenting the gospel. And also ask yourself another question. Who am I making a difference in the life of? Whose life am I actively involved in having compassion and making a difference? And if some have compassion, making a difference.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight for being reminded this very, very critical and important truth in the life of every believer, in the life of every church. And Father, we recognize that there are many people here on a Sunday night like this that are involved in ministries. Jail ministry in Awana, children's church, and bus ministries in Sunday school and nursery, ushers, greeters. I pray, God, that they will be reminded, that I will be reminded, that if there's no compassion, we don't make a difference there. That compassion is the oil on the machinery of everyday church life, and without it, there's just friction. And I pray, God, you'll burden us with people's needs, that you'll remind us, Father, that people were compassionate to us. That somebody showed compassion and made a difference in our lives, and how selfish it is for us not to do the same. We thank you, God, for the example of the Lord Jesus, for the mark showing us in those scriptures, Lord, that he was moved by compassion. May we be moved as well. I'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. I'm glad you came tonight. I'm glad you saved. Amen. Fellowship.